Okay, we're going to talk to Ribby Paltz coming up at 8:40. Apparently, he's getting to the heart of the coronavirus situation. So our news correspondent, Ribby Paltz, who's also gearing up for the NFL draft, will join us coming up at 8:40. But right now, it's time for another exciting edition of Name That Sport.
Okay.
I got the idea for this segment while watching really random sporting events on really random sports networks. And there were a couple of them, like cornhole. I couldn't believe I was watching a legitimate sports TV network broadcasting this event. And the more I fished around, the more insane events I found, way off the beaten path events, and I found the play-by-play cuts to be really funny. So this is about the fourth time that we've done this segment in the last couple of years. And I'll bring in five play-by-play cuts, and George and Gordon will be the contestants, and we'll play 30 or 45 seconds from this sporting event that was on network TV. And you guys will try to name that sport. So okay. Are you ready?
We are ready. Mm-hmm. And I guess this will confirm that they are really thirsty for content, that they'll air just about anything.
They are really thirsty for content. And maybe, and I think this is the case, some of these do really, really well in the ratings because some of them are on all the time.
Okay.
But here you go. First play-by-play cut from the first sport. Gentlemen, take a listen.
Just cleaned up the field for Fluxy and less distractions for him at the front of the pack. He is killing it.
Gabb somehow managed to come back. Vanover, though, is definitely out. They are on lap number two. Fluxy the lead. Nub pushing it.
Look at Nub go. He's trying to find a way to get ahead of Fluxy, but Fluxy's just a little faster.
Setting up for the switchback a second time. Fluxy and Nub right there. They're good friends. They train together, and Nub makes the pass.
First of all, the color guy sounds like Tony Romo, doesn't he?
Oh, Jim!
You know what this is.
I do. I believe this is drone racing.
Gordo, would you like to guess?
Boy, that is a good guess. I was going to guess lawnmower racing, but drone racing would make it on TV before lawnmower racing would.
Drone racing is correct.
Yes.
How did you know?
I've actually spent time watching that. Number one, I couldn't believe it was on the air, but...
Right.
After about 10 minutes, I was kind of in. As they raced through stadiums.
That's a really growing sport.
I think the one I was watching, they were racing through whatever they call the Dolphin Stadium now, where we played the Super Bowl this year.
That was DRL Drone Racing, the Drone Racing League. It's professional drone racing. And yes, you've got the pilots, four or five of them, sitting up in this booth, basically.
I don't know how they do it.
In these big chairs overlooking the race course. And, yeah, it's crazy. The pilots seeing them, and when they crash out, they're out, and then there's just two left, and there's the Tony Romo guy was going crazy there.
That was a great race, apparently.
It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I stayed with it for a while.
All right, that's sport number one. Congratulations, George.
Yo.
All right, this is sport number two.
Well, I think the tactics are pretty clear so far from Elwalili. She is looking to break up the rhythm of Gohart. Seeing the softness in the shot. And also, when Gohart's left the ball slightly short, Elwalili's gone for the softer drop option, moving her to the front. And it really is taking the pace out of the game, but then equally breaking up the rhythm of Gohar. And that is spot-on tactics from the world number one.
This is handball. This is handball.
I thought handball, but it almost sounds like it's being hit with the racket. So I may...
Racketball?
I thought handball first, and I was switching. Maybe I will. I'll stay with handball.
I'll go with racquetball then, just to counter-program.
Okay.
Don't you love the British guy accent on the play-by-play?
Yeah, I would stay with that for a while.
Yeah, I think he's faking it. But
brilliant tactic.
You're both incorrect.
Uh-oh.
This is women's professional squash.
Oh, wow. Man.
Well, I think the tactics are pretty clear so far from Elwalili. She is looking to break up the rhythm of Gohart. Seeing the softness in the shot. And also, when Gohar's left the ball slightly short, Elwalili's gone for the softer drop option, moving her to the front. And it really is taking the pace out of the game, but then equally breaking up the rhythm of Gohar. And that is spot-on tactics from the world number one.
So you guys didn't even recognize the name of the world number one?
No, I didn't.
No, sorry to say, I didn't.
I guess it's a lot like racquetball, right?
Yes, it's a lot like racquetball, a lot like handball.
But you hit it with a squash.
You were right, George. There's a racket involved.
Yeah.
You heard the racket correctly.
I thought I heard that.
That was televised on the 11 Sports Network.
The 11 Sports
Network? They need to rework their sports network names over there.
It's in the 600s on DirecTV.
Hmm.
And that was the Windy City Open.
Oh.
Held in Chicago. George, I figured you would have attended that.
I should have.
Okay. Let's get on to sport number three.
Attempt number two for Sean Bailey on men's problem two, coming off that perfect performance in problem number one that earned him 25 points and onto the 5-point zone, and now trying to make his way up to 10.
Able to do that second move static instead of having to jump, which will save him some energy. Now the more technical part as he makes his way, wrestling with these volumes. Really wild foot cut there, but able to control. Now he's on the 10.
Bailey, a great fight to hang on.
Man, I have no idea.
Can you name that sport?
No.
I'm going to go with... I'm just going to go with my first answer, lawnmower racing.
What are they talking about?
I love some of the terms in here. Problem number one. The 10. There was one other static. He did it static. All right, I'll give you one more chance. Listen to this.
All right.
Attempt number two for Sean Bailey on men's problem two, coming off that perfect performance in problem number one that earned him 25 points and onto the 5-point zone, and now trying to make his way up to 10.
Able to do that second move static instead of having to jump, which will save him some energy. Now the more technical part as he makes his way, wrestling with these volumes. Really wild foot cut there, but able to control. Now he's on the 10.
Oh, now
really
he's on
a great
10.
Fight to hang on.
Wrestling
Good
with his
Lord.
Volumes.
Okay, he's on the 10 now, so okay.
I think this is some sort of scientific lab obstacle course that you have to solve math problems and you have to work with volumetric flasks and things like that.
I'll just go with live coverage of UIL math competition.
You're both incorrect. The correct answer, you were listening to play-by-play from the USA Climbing Championships. That's wall climbing, indoor wall climbing.
Makes sense.
And they get to different zones. You climb
up from those problems.
The 5 to the 10, and you solve these problems. And you use
like a word problem that's taped onto the
climbing
wall
problems.
At one point.
And I think at one point she references a leg hold or a toe hold or something. So now that you know it's climbing, listen to it one more time.
Attempt number two for Sean Bailey on men's problem two, coming off that perfect performance in problem number one that earned him 25 points and onto the 5-point zone, and now trying to make his way up to 10.
Able to do that second move static instead of having to jump, which will save him some energy. Now the more technical part as he makes his way, wrestling with these volumes. Really wild foot cut there, but able to control. Now he's on the 10.
Bailey, a great fight to hang on.
What is she said something that I just don't understand, the volumes.
Wrestling with his volumes or with the volumes?
What
I didn't get that either. I don't know. You guys didn't recognize the name Sean Bailey?
No.
One of the best climbers in America?
No.
Won't you come home, Sean Bailey? Isn't that an old saying?
So that was the USA Climbing Championships indoor wall rock climbing. Okay. So you've gotten the first one. But you didn't get two. You didn't get three. Here we go. Jer, roll the play-by-play from sport number four.
Oh, look at this. Kellenberger, one, having to pull out all the wires, Scott.
It looks like to me that Will actually pulled the fish tape right off the conductors inside the conduit. This isn't good, Jason. It's going to cost them a lot of time now. They have to pull the wires out, reconnect the fish tape correctly and with the right amount of tape so it doesn't happen again.
Sounds like a disaster.
It's going to cost them a lot of time.
No, not the fish tape.
Is this some sort of robotic racing?
I was going to say robotic fighting. Like
robot
those
fighting?
Yeah. Robots on
battle bots.
Yeah, battle bot kind of thing.
All right, let's listen to it one more time.
Oh, look at this. Kellenberger, one, having to pull out all the wires, Scott.
It looks like to me that Will actually pulled the fish tape right off the conductors inside the conduit. This isn't good, Jason. It's going to cost them a lot of time now. They have to pull the wires out, reconnect the fish tape correctly and with the right amount of tape so it doesn't happen again.
Sounds like a disaster.
It's going to cost them a lot of time.
So, I mean, this is...
That's
my life.
Race, yeah.
No, this is my life because I've done this electrical work. All this is just describing doing straight up electrical work at a home. I mean, you're pulling through conduit. You use your fish tape to grab a hold of the conductors and pull wire. So I don't know.
It's an electrician race.
It's like an electrician race. Yeah, it's a competency test of electricians.
I knew you would get this. Mm-hmm. I knew if you heard it a second time, you would get it. And you're right around it. You're basically on it, so I'm going to give it to you. That was 1 hour televised of the Ideal Electricians National Championship.
There you go. Yeah.
Dave, and I knew you'd get this because you should participate in this.
Yes.
You're an electrician. And they've got, it's a course set up, and they go from structure to electrical box to fuse box to home, a framed home.
Oh, man, I'd love this.
And they're doing the wiring, and they have teams, and this is the pro division.
Perfect for you.
Yes.
They televise.
I fished so much wire through walls with my fish tape, and then you pull the end of it off, and you straighten it out, and, oh, I got to get the pliers and rework the end of the fish tape to hook onto the conductors, and didn't tape it up well enough to...
You need to try to qualify next year.
Pulled out about 3 tons of insulation on accident when I hooked the wrong thing.
And that color commentator is obviously a professional electrician. He gets so into it.
Oh, it's going to cost him a lot of time.
Oh, yeah.
They're fishing that wire out. It's going to cost. They can't even pull it out. He gets real ticked off as he's doing the play-by-play and the color.
That is televised.
Can you believe? That was on ESPN2.
Wow, I've never run into that.
So Squash was on the 11 network, and all of these others are on some ESPN network. I don't think any of them were on the main, but they were either on the Deuce or the Ocho, yeah. So, yes, and I figured Gordo would sit down and watch an hour's worth of that easily.
Thank you, yes, love that.
I'm glad I played it for you a second time because you guys were kind of off in robot fighting.
Yeah, we were getting into robot fighting.
Okay, and number 5, and this is for double points. Jer, play this play-by-play cut.
Dengler, Heck, Monforti, Carey, Conrad, the observers, and it's Randolph picking up where he left off. John scored 10 goals yesterday. Even he was surprised by that number when he was told about it after the game. Turnover free opening point, and it's Hecht to Randolph. Nothing too crazy here, something we saw quite a bit of yesterday. Mac absolutely loves his high-release break backhand. And for a team that relies so much on triangle, dominator, front of the stack, handler, heavy offense in the red zone, that's a real asset to be able to use so frequently.
Wow.
This might be my favorite play-by-play clip that I've ever brought in for you guys. There's so much
front
there.
Front of the stack. Underhanded break hand, whatever.
I'm thinking lacrosse or water polo.
I think it's like a cornhole championship.
You want to hear it one more time?
Yeah, one more time.
Dengler, Heck, Monforti, Carey, Conrad, the observers, and it's Randolph
picking up where he left off. John scored 10 goals yesterday. Even he was surprised by that number when he was told about it after the game. Turnover free opening point, and it's Hecht to Randolph.
Nothing too crazy here, something we saw quite a bit of yesterday. Mac absolutely loves his high-release break backhand. And for a team that relies so much on triangle, dominator, front of the stack, handler, heavy offense in the red zone, that's a real asset to be able to use so frequently.
Triangle dominator.
And so Phil Jackson has an influence on this sport.
You can score 10 goals and not even know it. You have a red zone.
Uh-huh.
You have the triangle.
Triangle dominator, break back cans.
You play back-to-back days because he referenced a game yesterday.
And there something about observers. Not spectators, not fans. They're observers. That makes it sound like the people on the team.
Yeah.
There's some of them that are observers while one guy is doing something.
I heard some chants, which makes me think this is Euro.
Final guesses.
I'll stick with the terrible guess of lacrosse.
I'm just going to say a beanbag toss of some kind.
Three-legged race.
You are both incorrect. I knew this would be one of the hardest ones to get. That was a play-by-play cut from an NCAA championship event between Brown and North Carolina.
Okay.
It was held in Round Rock, Texas last fall. That was the College Ultimate Disc Championship. Ultimate Frisbee.
Really?
Ultimate Disc.
Oh, man.
I wonder if Sean could have gotten this.
Maybe. He's not in there. I don't know if he could have or not, but it's when you look into the rules of Ultimate, there's a lot of football, soccer, a little lacrosse.
Break backhand. So, okay.
Backhand.
Mm-hmm.
Red zone because you penetrate into the red zone.
Oh,
when someone catches the frisbee, the disc, in the end zone, I guess it is. That's a point. That's how you score a goal, technically.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to it one more time now, knowing that it's the Ultimate Disc Championship.
Dengler, Hecht, Monforti, Carey, Conrad, the observers, and it's Randolph picking up where he left off. John scored 10 goals yesterday. Even he was surprised by that number when he was told about it after the game. Turnover free opening point, and it's Hecht to Randolph.
Nothing too crazy here, something we saw quite a bit of yesterday. Mac absolutely loves his high-release break backhand.
And
for a team that relies so much on triangle, dominator, front of the stack, handler, heavy offense in the red zone, that's a real asset to be able to use so frequently.
So I think you each got one. Gordo, you got the electricians. George, mm-hmm. you got the drone.
Man, that's the hardest one we've ever had.
Yeah, I thought so too. When I was pulling these cuts, I thought the squash is going to be really hard for them, the climbing really hard, and I knew you wouldn't get the Ultimate Disc Championship.
No way.
So many crazy terms.
I know. I couldn't get the sport. I knew it was between Brown and North Carolina. I knew that.
Oh, you narrowed that down?
Yeah.
Brown? Not Brown?
And what also makes this funny to me is how into it these announcers are. There's this whole other world out there, these sports.
Mm-hmm. That people know everything about, and
all
it's just
these
their
terms.
Thing.
Incredible. Mm-hmm.
And they're so
That's what makes
us.
The world great, is that everybody has their own individual areas of interest that they master and get way into, and that's really cool. And you can just stumble into this world that's already developed when you start listening, getting into a sport. And it's so fringy.
Yes.
But it may grab your fancy.
I love it.
Do you think they pitched Joe Buck on doing the electrician race?
Maybe. He would probably do something like that.
He could do it, yeah.
All right, that's another edition of Name That Sport. Coming up next, we talk with our correspondent, Ribby Paltz, about the coronavirus.